Our next scripture reading comes to us from 1 Samuel 17, verses 32. We're going to read a few extra verses to 51. You all know this story very well. It's David and Goliath. Let us listen to the word of God. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defiled the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put on a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I'm not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." And the Philistine drew nearer to meet David. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell down onto the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, striking down the Philistine and killing him. There was no sword in David's hand. And David ran over and stood over the Philistine. He grasped his sword, drew it out of his sheath, killed him, and he cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Edward Bloom tells big fish kind of stories. In fact, his relationship with his son was strained because he always told these exaggerated big fish kind of stories about his life. His son never knew whether he was telling the truth or not. If you've ever seen the movie Big Fish, it's worth a watch. Anyway, I want to tell you some of his big fish stories. When he was a kid, they all feared this old lady down the street in this scary old house. Legend had it, they said, she was a witch, and her glass eye held these mystical powers. One of the kids said, if you looked right into her glass eye, you'd see how you would die. So he, with a bunch of his friends, bravely approached her house, and each of the kids stares into her glass eye. And as a kid, Edward Bloom discovers right there, as he looks into her eye, how he's going to die. And then, for the whole rest of the movie, Edward Bloom, he uses this knowledge for his entire life, which means he's never living in fear of anyone or anything because he knows it's not going to kill him. In fact, after Edward finishes high school, a giant comes to his town, and everyone's afraid of this giant. And the giant has come into the cave and ends up eating livestock, and everyone's scared for their lives. No one's brave enough to approach the giant except for Edward, because he knows this giant's not going to kill him. Edward cleverly approaches the giant. He's been selected by the town, he says, to be eaten. Well, the giant isn't interested in eating him. He's just hungry. So Edward and the giant leave the town together in search, Edward says, for the circus. To bigger and better places where they have all-you-can-eat buffets, he tells them. And Edward becomes the town hero. Now, what I love most about this movie is that Edward isn't afraid of anything. In the same way, David, this shepherd boy, anointed by Samuel, the king of Israel, David is unafraid of any obstacle that gets in his way. He knows that God's with him, and he isn't afraid of anything because he trusts that God will make him king, so he's willing to go up against anyone or anything. Now, that's something most of us aren't willing to do, to risk everything. David hears about this Goliath who's willing to fight any person, but no one's brave enough to face him. Now, if you know anything about war strategy, it's called single-person combat. It's an ancient way of settling disputes without incurring the bloodshed of thousands in battle. The mightiest warrior of one army fights the other mightiest warrior, and whoever wins in the single-person combat wins the whole battle. That's where we are in today's Bible story. Now, I know you know most of the story, David Goliath, very well. Of course, David seems like he's unmatched, a simple, fearless shepherd boy going up against a well-armored giant, the Goliath. He knocks the giant down with one stone, cuts off his head. It's pretty gruesome, isn't it? But this act makes the Philistines run for their lives. We all like the underdog story. And imagine these two men are unmatched. Goliath, a mighty, ferocious, giant warrior against David, a young shepherd boy with a sling wearing no armor. David appears to be the underdog. Yet there's more to this story than meets the eye. First, David knows something about his future that the Goliath doesn't, that David will be king of Israel. So he has no fear when he faces this giant, because he's not going to die today. Second, David is choosing a different form of combat. According to a TED Talk entitled The Unheard Story of David and Goliath, Malcolm Gladwell explains, in ancient warfare, there are three kinds of warriors. There's cavalry, men on horseback or chariots. There's heavy infantry, armed foot soldiers with swords and shields. And then there's artillery, archers and slingers. Gladwell explains more about the slingers. A slinger has two long cords attached to a leather pouch. They put a rock on a lead ball in the pouch and they start swinging it around. They let go of the cord and it sends the projectile forward, hitting the target. It's not a slingshot, like a child's toy. David's turning it at 6 or 7 revolutions per second. So when the rock is released, it's going about 80 miles per hour. And the stones in the Valley of Elah are barium sulfate, rocks twice the density of normal stone. Gladwell explains that if you do the calculations properly, it's roughly the stopping power of a 45-millimeter handgun. Ancient slingers also are able to hit birds in flight. That's how good of a shot they are. Yet in this case, David's even closer to his target. And Goliath's in heavy infantry. He's only prepared to fight someone who's heavy infantry. Even Saul prepares David to fight in the same way, but David refuses because he cannot walk with it. In fact, he prepares for battle as artillery. In this fight, they're using two different styles of combat. And because of that, Goliath doesn't have a chance against David. Goliath's the sitting duck, weighed down by hundreds of pounds of armors. He's essentially bringing a sword to David's gunfight. Now, the main point I want to get across for you this morning is this. Giants aren't always as strong as they appear. First, David's unafraid because he has God on his side. Second, David outwits his foe with a different style of combat. In fact, giants or bullies, as we know them, often have more than one weakness and can often be outwitted. This isn't about being an underdog and winning. Instead, it's a story to remind us that when we have God on our side, we shouldn't be afraid of anything. God is bigger and stronger and able to defeat anyone and anything. Jesus is our greatest model for this. Even willing to face death on a cross, and in the end, it seems backwards. Jesus defeats death itself. So when we face a bully, an illness, or anything that could drive fear into us, we should be able to move with God forward, unafraid, because God is with us. Now, each of us here knows that God has an important call and purpose for our lives, and we know in the end, God reigns victorious. Malcolm Gladwell explains in his book, David and Goliath, that in modern warfare, the underdog wins about 28% of the time, especially when they engage in regular rules of war. But when they change tactics, like the revolutionaries did more than 200 years ago, using guerrilla-style warfare, the underdog ends up winning 67% of the time. Now, I find that fascinating. David changed his tactics when he defeats the giant. Jesus changed tactics, following God perfectly, loving all, even unto death. And by doing so, he defeats sin and evil, giving us everlasting life. A few years ago, in 2015, one of my seminary classmates, Sharon Reicher, her mother was at a church Bible study, Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, when a shooter came in killing her and 8 others. The next night, her daughter Sharon posted a picture of her mother, and it said, "Celebrating the life of Mrs. Ethel W. Lance. Final resting place, Emmanuel AME Church Cemetery, Charleston, South Carolina." And her daughter wrote, "It is well with my soul," the very next day. Now, she and many of the families did something that many people would never do, but they forgave the shooter. It did not mean that they forgot, but she forgave them. Which would be hard for any of us to do in a situation like this, but they changed tactics and didn't let the shooter have the last words. God is victorious even in the instance of tragedy. We cannot cower to hatred or racial indifference or evil or fear. There is no giant or foe that has any power over God, not in David's day or in ours. Now, I know there are people here who have faced giants in their lives, and by the grace of God, you've been victorious. Malcolm Gladwell makes this point again and again in his book, David and Goliath, that one discovers after facing giant, there's really nothing to fear. He says this, "Courage is not something that you already have that makes you brave when tough times start. Courage is what you earn when you've been through the tough times and you discover they aren't so tough after all. That's the way to live out our faith. The way David does toward this giant. And when we follow God's will for our lives, unafraid of consequences, that's what God desires of us. To live without fear. To change our tactics. To recognize that giants in our lives have vulnerabilities. And that we can do anything through Christ who strengthens us. That gives us hope every hour and every day, and the ability to face whatever comes our way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.